Welcome to the Monday Q Review with my good friend, the captain of Monday Q Info, Ryan French. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
I thought you were going to start a rap there. Like, your rhythm was like, I thought you were going to break into like a rap. I'm great, man. How are you?
Yeah, nobody wants to hear me rap. We have a fun show. We got a good one for you today. Two interviews. One with my good friend, Stuart McDonald, who just won down on PGA Tour Americas. And the second with KK Limbesuit, who just shot 9 under today at the CJ Cup Monday qualifier. That's a round.
That's a round. A tough Monday, as we will talk about maybe after KK comes in. And Stu Mac, as I have said for a long time, I mean, the last year on developmental tours has basically been dominated by Stu Mac. Asher Tour, America's Tour has a third, now a win. What a great dude. So here comes KK. We'll get to the rest of that stuff in a minute.
We're gonna open the show with our hot guest, KK. Welcome to Monday Q Review. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you guys too. Sorry, I'm in a car. We just had dinner. Trying to get to the hotel as quickly as I can. Everything happening so quickly. So a lot of planning to do and flights changed. So yeah, good to see you guys.
Typical Monday stuff, right, KK?
Yeah, I think you guys know the routine.
Congratulations, man. It's funny for our listeners right now. All we can see is like the old, like three quarters of your face in an oval shape. Perfect. That's illuminated by the dome KK. Light on the car.
Yeah, and
you look fantastic.
KK, you had to reset last year and then got through Q school, but finished down, then played well. I assume like today you've played solid in the three made cuts you've made on KFT. I assume today is kind of like a free roll. It's not – obviously you feel pressure, I assume, but knowing that you're having a solid season to start on KFT makes it a little bit easier at the Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, this is a kind of bonus because we have 2 weeks off before Kansas City, and then the last week's event was here in Arlington, Texas, so – I think a lot of guys just sign up for this Monday because we're already here anyways. The field today was huge. It was like 113 guys filled with all the Korn Ferry players that played last week. So, the field was pretty stacked. But, yeah, to talking about, like, the scheduling and having full stats is huge. I always had conditional stats on the Korn Ferry Tour. It's so hard to plan your schedule. You have to like be ready to play any week if you get in. I'm always like checking my phone if I'm like, you know, close to getting in or barely getting in, or go stand by at a course on Thursday morning, you know, waiting for guys to pull out last minute. It's awesome to have an actual schedule this year and just, you know, worry about golf and not worry about, oh, what am I going to do for the next few weeks?
Yeah, KK, you have been far and wide. I mean, obviously, you're from Thailand, and so you have family there and you have some roots there. But when you lost your Korn Ferry status last year and you didn't make it through Q school, you went all the way back to Thailand and you played there. It's not their development series, but it's the All Thai Tour. It's their national tour, right?
Yeah.
Take me back to when you were playing there and like how patient do you have to be being that far away from where your eventual goal is, which is where you are now playing the PGA Tour this week.
Yeah. So every year when I had conditional stats or no stats, I always tried to go do all the Mondays I can try to do, all the Korn Ferry Mondays, all the PGA Mondays. So last year I try to change it up a little bit. I felt like that pathway for me wasn't really working out financially and mentally. You know, like for the Mondays, you shoot a solid 4 or 5 under par, you're heading straight home, even though you play some solid golf. I think that just wasn't good for my mental health, honestly. So I just decided to go home and actually play the local tour, play like a 4-day event with some cuts, just learn how to compete in like a, you know, a 4-day tournament, and just get ready for Q school. I think that was the easiest way for me to earn status back in the US by is Q school. You hear so many like Cinderella stories with the Monday qualifying, which is great. It gives like a lot of hope for guys that didn't play well in Q school, but it's too hard financially. Also, like it gets so expensive. You're like dropping, you know, $1,500 or $2,000 on each Monday, and if you do, I don't know, 10 or 15 of those a year, it adds up quickly. So yeah, like when I went back home last year, it felt like it would take me such a long pathway, I guess, to come back here in the US, but everything happened so quickly. I played really well at Q school. I won second stage, and they changed it up this year where you actually earn pretty much full status winning second stage. So pretty fortunate to win it this year. So yeah, it's been a long 2023, and I'm glad to be back playing the US again for 24.
KK is also like a bit of an underhanded shit giver there. Did you notice that, Ryan, where he was just like, you know, the Monday cues are not glamorous despite how much you've built them up.
Yeah, right. I try to be realistic, but yes, obviously the ones that make it through, I don't go like, oh, four right. guys missed the cut again today, this year. This week.
Yeah.
KK, let's go to like when scores today are low and you have an afternoon tee time. Do you like that? Because it gives you an idea, like you guys have all been through this enough to right. kind of get a sense of what the morning wave is doing. You get a sense of what the number is. Do you look at it and do you like the afternoon wave knowing what you have to shoot, or would you rather be in the morning wave?
I think
and just go out there and fire a number.
Yeah, I think like someone told me from last year that like 75% of the guys that made it through came from like the first 3 or 4 tee times, just mm-hmm. because, you know, you get like really good greens. Most likely you have less wind to play in the morning. So yeah, I would rather prefer play in the morning just because you feel like more fresh. The greens are better. You kind of just post a score. You don't have to like, oh, let's say like you tee off in the afternoon, you look up the leaderboard, someone shot 9 under par. Mm-hmm. So well, it's like a tougher battle, I feel like, if you play in the afternoon. But luckily today it was like calm all day. We didn't have any wind in the afternoon. So it you know, that's pretty unusual. Normally it gets windy in the afternoon, so it's a little tougher to score, but that wasn't the case for today's round.
KK.
Awesome.
Oh, just real quick, I'm always curious, at what point does the nervous energy that kick in? At what point do you realize I'm really close to getting a PGA Tour start, and now I've got to kind of calm myself and try as best I can to take it one shot at a time? Because it's so easy that when you start, you know you're kind of on a free roll. You're just trying to get it rolling. But at some point you realize, okay, I'm in it. And then it can change, and it does change for some people. At what point did that hit to you today? And how did you handle the pressure of the PGA Tour start on the line coming in?
Yeah. So like today I got off to like a really good start. I was 500 through 9, and honestly, like I knew the score was going to be like 8 or 9 that will take me through. So like I was 500 through 9, and I actually felt like, well, like if I just play a solid back nine, I really have a good chance of making it through. So I was pretty nervous walking from 9th hole to 10th tee. But luckily we had a little like a backup on a tee, like 2 groups on the tee. So that actually kind of helped me just calm me down and like just rethink about like what I did right on the front nine, like what was going well. Like I just play shot by shot, stick to my routine. Yeah, so like I felt like when you like you feel like, oh wow, I really have a good chance of making it through. I feel like everything was going so fast, like everything was happening so quickly. So I just kind of slowed myself down and maybe walk slower, talk to my caddy a little more. Yeah, and then I got to like the last three or four holes. I knew there were birdie holes coming in, so I just, you know, just tell myself, just give me a birdie look anywhere on a green and just see what happens. You know, that's all you can ask for coming down the last couple holes of the Monday qualifier and just have a chance. Because I'll be honest, like 70-80% of the time you play Monday qualifying and you're just like, oh, I don't think I have a chance coming last seven. I have to bury it out or something like that.
That's a disheartening feeling.
Yeah, I know. Or bury it last night.
The walk of shame.
Yeah. So that's what you work for. You're just like, all I need is a chance of making it through. And if you don't, just, you know, you've been playing, you play solid enough to put yourself in it. So yeah, it's a lot of pressure, but it's also a lot of fun. You know, you get to, you have a chance to play a PGA Tour. That doesn't happen that often.
KK, thanks for joining us. I mean, I know Mark knows as a player, I know as covering it, that Monday nights can be super hectic, finding a new hotel, canceling flights, all the stuff that you have to do. So we appreciate you taking the time. And as always, you've been super nice to Mark and I. So keep up the great play, and you might as well just like go win it. It's you got Korn Ferry status to fall back on. So
yeah. I mean, like, might as well.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan. Yeah. No, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. Let me know if you need anything.
Good to see you, KK. Play great this week.
Thanks for being on.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Bye-bye. See you.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It was nice to have him on and join us. And our last two Monday guests have joined us from the car.
I don't know. You can edit this out, Mark. But okay. The fact that you introduced him by calling him hot was absolutely so great. I can't wait to listen to it. I cannot wait to listen to it.
You know.
You said, here's our really hot guest.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, I was being metaphorical, you know.
Right. But, I mean, he came off the 63. That's what you people, said.
But yeah. No, he's a good looking guy, too. I mean, he's also an attractive.
He's a nice looking guy.
He's a very nice looking man.
Yeah. But I was like, I thought for sure you were going to add on to it. And you just said, here's our guest, KK, who's really hot.
Oh man, I mean, look, I've got a different taste in people, and anybody who shoots 9 under, I think you're hot. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. That was great. He was great.
We're not editing that out.
No, that's too good. I couldn't break because he didn't break. So I was like, oh no, what do I do now? What do I do now? So I just left it alone. Now I talked about it here. I know you and him have played a lot of the same events, Mark, and just a super good dude.
Super good dude. Yeah. We once made the walk in a stage of Q school together where we were both playing awesome. We were well inside the number, and that's a fun walk on a final day. We had a really nice day. It's kind of where you're always trying to get. Yeah. So Ryan, take us through the rest of the results. We obviously know KK got through. What else happened in the CJ Cup Monday qualifier today?
Yeah. First of all, the CJ Cup joining with the Byron Nelson really confused me. I didn't know that. I don't pay attention to that. I just know when the Mondays are. But
oh, okay.
Threw me off. Max McGreevy played well super early. He must have been one of, like KK said, one of the first three or four groups shot 9 under. So did KK. Quad Cummins from Colorado. I once saw Quad Cummins in the – it was at a – stop it. Stop it. At the –
good thing I didn't call him hot.
Yeah. I once saw Quad at the U.S. Open sectionals.
It's Quaid, right? Like, let's just, it's got to be Quaid.
It has to be Quaid. It was a rough night for them.
Everybody go to bed. We're done. That's it. That's our time, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Quaid, stay for Stu. Stay for Stu. Quaid Cummings. I saw him at, what is it? Springfield Country Club? What is that? What is, anyway, it's in Ohio. And there's this like diabolical green. I was like, oh my, it was the first time I was there. And they go watch that hole. And I walk out there and Quaid's coming. It's like just diabolical. I cannot do it. I'm not even telling the story anymore.
Oh, goodness.
Never mind.
Well, this is why we can't record late at night.
Quaid Cummings. Quaid Cummings.
Oh my goodness. I promise we didn't take an edible before we recorded tonight, but you wouldn't know it.
I did up my Adderall today, but
good.
Yeah,
good.
Forget that story. He made a 10. I watched him make a 10. Yeah.
All right. As you,
Brad Hopfinger,
yep.
And Thomas Rosenmuller, Thomas. So holy shit. This is a
disaster. I can't put a sentence together right now.
It's an absolute disaster.
Go take another Adderall, would you?
All right. Max McGreevy, KK, Quaid Cummins, Brad Hopfinger are the there was a 3-for-2 playoff.
I'm crying. I get tears streaming.
This is the most ridiculous podcast ever.
Oh,
a guy shot 64 and missed in a playoff. The I was really hoping the sevens, there's like 9-7 unders, but they were out early. Imagine shooting 64 and missing in a playoff. Man, that is rough. That is really, really quite rough.
Yeah,
not as rough as me trying to read those names, though.
No, it's not that rough. You'd rather be Thomas Rosenmuller tonight.
It was a disaster. Let's quickly talk about the Zurich before we get to Stu.
Okay.
You know, a lot of you're friends with Martin, friendly with Martin. You sent me a message. I had not seen it. You said, you know, putt wasn't very good. In the playoff, I went back and watched the whole entire hole. Obviously, they kind of made a mess of it. But I tweeted about it. It's like, obviously, there's pressure on Rory and Shane. They want to win. But obviously, their career is taken care of. It's irrelevant whether they win this event or not. Doesn't mean they don't want to or they didn't feel pressure. But I think, to me, Mark, that playoff looked like, you know, Chad has – status for next year locked up, but he could have got another year. Martin obviously playing basically four starts for any sort of status. Plus he's had a long struggle. You know, he's played well this year, but for the most part, to me, it just looked like two guys who felt the pressure of their career on their lines way too dramatic, but especially for Martin lacking, I mean, it would have been a huge career change. And that's kind of what the hole looked like.
I think Martin he wouldn't have played more tours than anybody else, but he would have played as many tours this year as any other player who is trying to scrape and claw and gain better status. But he's played on the Asian tour. He's played on the Korn Ferry tour all over South America. He has played on the PGA tour. And he went to the LIV Promotions event at the end of last year.
I think he went to DP, if I remember right, DPQ school too. So, I mean, he just like all you guys that are without status or limited status, you just want a place to play. I mean, to play regularly. Like, I mean, kind of going back to KK's interview, he's like, man, Mondays weren't working for me. I needed a place to just play. And Thailand was the place for him. But it's the same, right, Mark? It's just like you need to get, like, just – as many chances as you can to figure out a place to play.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's you know, golf, professional golf, you know, comedy, improv, acting. It's all kind of the same pathway where you just need as many opportunities as you can to break through. And that's what Martin's tried to give himself this year. And he's played really well. And he's a worldly guy. He's very cultured, spends a lot of time in France, has some roots there. So he, you know, he follows the travel that he likes and the food that he enjoys. He always makes a cultural experience out of it. But my guess is they played so well that final day. I think they shot 9 under, right? Yeah. An alternate shot format, which nobody else even came close to.
Yeah.
So I think if anybody else is on that tee, but you know, McIlroy and Lowry, they probably have a much better shot. But they were in, they have been waiting around for a while. You know, Rory and Lowry probably finished just a lot more recently than they had, and it just became like a David versus Goliath situation.
Yep. But obviously, great week for Martin. He'll get at least a few more starts out of it, and hopefully he can do something because he is playing well. Might go back to KFT full time, whatever. Let's talk about Stu. As we said at the beginning of the podcast, not even close, the most dominant developmental tour over the player over the last 8 months to a year. Won a bunch of Asher events, played well in Latin America, and basically only didn't get full status because his wife got pregnant, they had a baby, he missed an event. Like, he's just been good for a long time, and it's no surprise to see him win, but obviously the video I posted, his dad was on the bag, it's emotional. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's even harder, Mark, when you're supposed to be the guy who's breaking through, especially in a country like Canada where there's a lot fewer golfers that everyone focuses on. Stu's kind of been like the next guy. So maybe that puts even more pressure on him. But it's no surprise, and he's really, really good.
He's really good. I don't know many players that can go as low as he can, as frequently as he can. He's just got a great mentality for it. He gets out of his own way. He doesn't overcomplicate things. He's just a chill dude. And it, like I said to him, and I didn't want to embarrass him, but you know, when I was introducing him during the interview, I said it's really hard not to root for Stu. I don't know. I haven't never met a single person, player, anyone who has anything but rave reviews, just wonderful things to say about the guy. So it's not just his game. It's that he's a solid individual, and really happy to see him win. But he said it was the very best golf experience of his life overall, not just because he won a tournament, but because his dad was on the bag, because he had the perspective of the last couple of months, and his dad had a terrible health scare, and he said that they didn't know if his dad was going to make it. And they were in this idyllic country that Stu loves in Peru and Lima, and this beautiful city. It's a surf city, and he stayed right on the beach, and they had an incredible, memorable experience that they'll have forever. And so Stu said it was the best golf experience of his life.
Amazing. Polling for him, and we'll get to his interview in a minute, but also I don't have my laptop plugged in, and the anxiety that I have felt for the last 25 minutes as I've watched my battery wind up when KK was on, and now you started in, and now my screen, you know how your screen dims when it's about to, like, shit's about to get real?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
We'll sign off now. It's good. We don't, you know, that basically when you've looked at the dwindling power on your laptop, yeah. And yeah, the way you felt is almost every time I've seen you since you've said Quade Cummings, try to formulate a sentence.
Without further ado, we'll wrap it up with Stu. Listen in for that because it's an awesome interview. See you guys next week.
Good night, everybody. I am joined by Stuart McDonald, winner of the Diners Club Peru Open on PGA Tour Americas. Stu, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Nice to be here.
It's good to see you, buddy. You look a little bit tired, but I'm really happy to have you here. And just for our listeners who I know that most of our listeners will be familiar with you, but just to catch them up to speed a little bit for kind of our newcomers, Stu, he's one of those people that you can't help but cheer for. He's a new dad to little Graham. He is a husband to Carly and a good friend of our captain, Ryan French's favorite player, Corey Connors. Last year, I believe it was the Valero Texas Open when Corey was putting on the cowboy boots and you had just finished playing a Latino America event in Brazil and shooting an outrageously low score and like scrambling around to find a laptop to watch him.
Yes, that's correct. And that did happen. Yeah.
You were his good luck charm. I mean, he put the boots on and you shot like 61.
Yeah. Win-win for the Canadians that day.
There's been a lot of Canadian winning happening in the last year. But you know, Stu's played very well at every level. He nearly earned his PGA Tour card a couple years ago through KFT. He keeps getting better. I mean, it's hard out there. It's a competitive battle. Stu's, you know, been on and off KFT and been battling to, you know, regain his status out there. But he's a great player. He's a good Canadian, which makes him an even better guy. So Stu, like I said, you're looking a little bit tired. How are you feeling after this whirlwind of a week?
Yeah. Still kind of on the high of the win. Yeah, it was an amazing week. Obviously things went my way, as they normally have to for you to win. And you know, that's my favorite tournament I've ever played it. Honestly, it's an unbelievable tournament. The people are amazing. The golf course is amazing. Lima is an unbelievable city with great people, great food. Having my dad on the bag this past week was amazing. But yeah, just a little exhausted now. We're in Quito, Ecuador at the moment. Had an early morning flight to get here, and the altitude's kind of kicking my butt at the moment.
What is the altitude there?
I think we're at 10,000 feet.
Oh, wow. You're going to hit some bombs this week.
We are going to hit some bombs for sure. And the ball doesn't curve a whole lot, too. It's going to feel good, too.
Well, lately, it doesn't seem to be curving a lot off your club face unless you want it to, which is good. So I know you mentioned that you love Peru and it's your favorite golf tournament. Is it, Stu, is it the course? Is it the city that you were in? Is it the people, the food? Is it a bit of all of those things? I noticed a panoramic video that you took early in the week, and it was like a shoreline view of the beach, and it was just like, man, I love this place. What is it that just feels right about it for you?
I guess it's just a combination of a lot of things. It reminds me a lot. It reminds me of Vancouver and the coast. You just like, I wake up in the morning, open up the blinds, and you just see the beautiful ocean. There's people surfing. The weather's perfect. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that I love about it. And one of my best friends, Fernando Barca, who I played golf with at Purdue, he's from there. And so just him being there and his family's been awesome. They've hosted me a couple times at their house. Yeah, there's just a lot of things. It feels good. And breathing in that ocean air, there's something about it just kind of invigorates you.
And your dad was with you. When did you guys decide to team up and take on Peru?
Yeah, he's been wanting to get out there and caddy. His health's been not great the last little bit, but he's starting to kind of just peck away and get a little bit better. But I figured he's been to Lima before. I just figured it'd be a great spot for him to come. The course is, you know, reasonably flat, so it's a pretty easy caddy gig this past week. And yeah, it's just awesome to spend the time together and obviously to have him on the bag and win was just a, you know, double bonus.
Are he and your mom, you said he's been to Peru before, Lima before, are he and your mom enthusiastic travelers like so many good Canadians are?
They are. And they are snowbirds. They do spend 5-6 months of the year down in Southern California in Palm Springs, but They went on a trip to Machu Picchu. They did some hiking together up there, I think a few years back. So they're kind of familiar with the area. And yeah, I know my dad was really happy to get back and get back to Lima and see it.
So you opened the tournament, Stu, and you got off to a solid start. Not spectacular, but solid. And then second and third round, you get super hot, shoot 65, 66, 65. And I think you had the outright lead going to the final round. But what was working for you in those two rounds where you played so well?
Yeah, I was in a fairway a lot, which is, I mentioned it before, but that's the key to this golf course, because the fairways are really narrow. It's not overly long, but the greens are small and firm and generally pitched back to front. So if you are in the rough, you're just trying to land it on the front edge and hopefully it holds the green. And if you're in the fairway, you're probably having inside 120 yards in, and you can probably hit it close and, you know, make a few putts. So that was kind of the key for sure. Those kind of the middle 2 days. The first round, I kind of scraped it around. I felt like I was kind of pretty lucky to get out of there with a 3-under. I felt like I was missing fairways and I was pitching out sideways a bunch, so I was able to scramble really well. Yeah, and then just kind of held on for dear life on Sunday. It felt like, as you know, it's so hard to win a golf tournament. And I really, really, really wanted to win last week. So that kind of, you know, even made it more difficult. And there was a lot of people out there watching. It was cool. There was some pressure. There was a bunch of people out there. It felt like a big golf tournament. And yeah, I think it definitely helped me.
You entered the final round with that lead, and you've won a few times in the past year, right? Like a couple times in the Asher Tour, and then you won in Ottawa last year on PGA Tour Canada. And you talk about, you know, just hanging on in that final round. And so I'm curious, after you've notched those wins, you've got them under your belt. Does trying to succeed down the stretch ever get more comfortable, or is it as uncomfortable as ever?
Gosh, it didn't feel any easier than, you know, any other time. I just think it, like, there's, you kind of understand that there's no reason to really be like too overly nervous, you know, with a one shot lead going to 18, because, you know, you bogey the first hole and then you're tied or whatever. Like, there's one swing can be the difference maker. And, so no, I don't think it gets any easier. The guy, Sam Anderson, is kind of making a charge. He eagled 16. I bogeyed 17, so the lead was cut big time. So it was pretty dramatic there at the end, for sure.
Yeah, there's always a moment, it seems, in any round, like a turning point, or a time when you make a crucial save, or you get a good break, or you make a swing that starts to, it feels all of a sudden repeatable. And was there a kind of a turning point that final round for you, or was the whole day just like, let's hit one at a time and, you know, just hang on for dear life, like you said?
There was kind of one, I felt like, I think it was hole 11. I think I had a 3 or 4 shot lead at the time, and I had a good drive and I had a perfect number, and I just pull hooked this 50 degree long left of this green, and it was absolutely dead. I would have been lucky to hit it inside 20 feet, and I hit it to about 30 feet, trickled it on the fringe. So I still had a long putt above the hole, easily 3-puttable, and I made it for par. So that was like just a kind of a, that was big. And then I was able to make a couple birdies in the next couple holes, to kind of almost settle myself back in a little bit. But then, you know, hole 15 out there is a really tough tee shot. There's water left, and I just hit a high, big block to the right behind a tree, had to chip out sideways, made bogey there. And then I don't know, from there on out, it was just kind of just super one shot at a time, just try to stay as present as possible, and yeah, I was able to just kind of hang on.
Was your dad able to help you through any of that? I'm sure you got a fist pump after making that important 30 footer and that impossible up and down. But what was it like to have him out there when you're trying to take it one shot at a time and close out a tournament?
Yeah. You know, he's a pretty good golfer. He's maybe like a 10 handicap, but obviously doesn't have any, you know, serious tournament experience. So, you know, he's good at just kind of staying in his lane and, you know, just being a nice companion walking down the fairway and making sure the clubs are clean, which is awesome, which is exactly what I wanted to do. So no, he didn't really say anything, but just nice to, he's a very calm person. So it was just nice to have him there just by my side. It just kind of felt better, you know?
Well, you don't take after him at all. I mean, you're as high strung as they come and anxiety ridden. No, Stu is as relaxed and as cool as they come, just a joy to be around. But, you know, you spoke about your dad going through the serious health scare in the past couple of months. And did that weigh on your mind throughout this week? I mean, you mentioned how badly you wanted to win. I got to think that had something to do with it. So, you know, was having him out there, did it help put things in perspective for you? That it was just golf, or did it put a little more pressure on you because you really wanted to do this for him?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. Yeah, I just, I said in an interview earlier, he's caddied for me a bunch of times, and I haven't won with him caddying. And yeah, and with his, you know, recent health struggles, just having him out there just to begin with and just him being alive, it's just it did put things into perspective, and you know, it probably did free me up a little bit. Honestly, it was just kind of a happy week. But at the same time, like I wanted to win badly for him. Yeah, I was just happy that we could make it happen.
On that last hole, it looked like you made about a 2 or 3 footer to secure the win. And then you shake hands with your playing partners and you see your dad. Take me through those moments after you sealed the deal and saw your dad.
Yeah. Just tears of joy, I think, from both of us. Just such a special moment to share that with him. It was so cool. I feel like we could have hugged for another few minutes. we didn't have to go sign the scorecards, but just a relief. I was lucky to hit that kind of 30 footer to, yeah, like a foot and a half, 2 feet. So it was pretty stress free. It was an amazing finish.
So that brings up the obvious question. Did you take him with you to Ecuador this week?
He is not here. I requested that he not come here because we are at 10,000 feet and the weather looks a little sketchy. The bag's going to be heavy. So I just thought, you know, get home, get some rest. Let's keep you out one for one this year. He's going to get home and get some rest and I'm sure enjoy it as much as I am.
Well, that's the way it should be. You guys, as far as I'm concerned, are undefeated.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough act to follow for any caddy this week.
100%.
Well, you've accomplished a lot in your career and you know the ups and downs of the game and traveled the world and you've made it through Q schools and contended on Korn Ferry Tour. Almost, like I said at the beginning, earned your PGA Tour card and played really well at your National Open, the Canadian Open last year. So where does this win, this experience with your dad in the bag, where does it rank among all of your accomplishments?
Gosh, you know, I think it's probably number one. I think it's probably number one. Obviously, winning last year in Ottawa was my first PGA Tour sanctioned win. That was really special. But I just felt like this tournament just felt bigger. It just felt more important. And then obviously having family there made it even more special. But yeah, I'd have to put it at number one for me.
That's amazing. Well, I've taken up enough of your time, Stu. Thank you for joining me here and talking me through this incredible week of yours. I hope you hit some bombs this week. I know you will. And hey, might as well go back to back.
100%. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
All right, buddy. Best of luck. And thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Our theme music is composed by Alicia Beats. The song is called Titanium, and it can be found on pixabay.com.